Hey, Killer Serials podcast. Tony Jones, Ryan Parker.
Hey, what's up?
People versus OJ Simpson, episode 5, The Race Card.
The Race Card.
Another great episode. I'm stunned by the acting in this. But before we get to that, I want to ask you something.
Ominous.
I was taken back in last night's episode to The Wire, and the way that in The Wire, the city of Baltimore is a character in the show. In fact, you might say in that show that Baltimore is the protagonist.
Okay.
And LA doesn't play quite the same role in The People versus OJ Simpson, but LA is becoming, it seems to me, a character in this show. And one little bit that I found very interesting, and I'm wondering what you think of this, like why the director did it this way. But right toward the end of the episode, you're getting this weird feeling that Mark Furman, I mean, it's so weird, right? You're watching this movie and you know that Mark Furman is the reason they lose the case.
Okay.
I mean, this is one of the weird things about watching the show is you know how it ends. At least I know how it ends. Maybe not everyone does, but they pan back and they have like this overview of LA at night with all the, you know, with like traffic, and it's a kind of a lingering moment where it hangs over downtown Los Angeles at night. And then last shot of the episode is like Mark Furman's Nazi memorabilia at his house. End of episode.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I'm just asking you, like, why that wide shot of Los Angeles at night? It seems like they're trying to say something like only in LA, or of course they're racist everywhere, but
what if it is even in LA?
Yeah, even in L.A., right. Or like, you know, you can hide in L.A. In some ways, you can hide in L.A. There's all sorts of crazy stuff that happens in L.A.
Including the double homicide by a Heisman-winning football player.
Right, exactly. I remember when I lived in L.A., when I was a student in seminary, which was just before this trial took place. As we said in episode 1, I was there lived there during the riots. I remember like driving through Van Nuys one time and somebody telling me like, oh, this is the porn capital of the world. This is where all the porn is filmed. And you're thinking like, it just seems like townhomes.
Yeah.
And shopping malls.
That's not happening here.
And people are like, no, like there's porn all over. This whole town is full of people filming porn every day.
Yeah.
And you just think, wow. And then there's the whole like mayor of Brentwood, and they have to change, they have to stage inside of OJ's house. So I'm just wondering, like, you, I'm watching this now from a remove and haven't lived in Los Angeles for 20 years. You know, you live there. Like, what's your take on how they're weaving Los Angeles into the series?
I hope they do more of that. And this episode opened with another scene that we've only heard about, which is Johnny Cochran being pulled over, DWB, right? And which was and is apparently a thing, right? And it's still in Los Angeles, this kind of racial profiling while driving. I thought this episode came was kind of eerily timely with, and I don't know how far this news item spread this week, with the KKK rallies in Anaheim, of all places. Hmm. And then I did a little bit of digging, and apparently the KKK had a huge foothold in Anaheim in like the 20s and 30s and 40s. And that's not something I normally would have thought about Southern California before I moved here, right? Yeah. Having grown up in Mississippi, I thought I knew where the KKK headquarters was, you know?
Right.
And then you see, as you've pointed out, the closing of that episode with Furman dusting off his Nazi medals, you know, and how great was that line, though? I collect World War II memorabilia. And you just, you know, if I was thinking ahead a little bit, I would have thought about that. But, you know, it does still come as a little bit of a shock. But, no, I think L.A.'s subtly playing a character. They're not making too much out of it, right? But it's something to pay attention to. Yeah.
Well, this was really the episode where they ratcheted up the racial deal. And it, man, I mean, it was palpably like when Johnny Cochran gets up and destroys Chris Darden's, it's hard because you,
that was heartbreaking.
Like we have to talk about a couple, you know, we're a couple white guys here talking about this, but you know, when Darden gets up there and makes this argument, like, Your Honor, you just cannot let people come in and use the N-word because they think that the detective who found the glove used it 15 years ago. It's just too racially charged. You're like, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, yeah.
You could see the reasoning.
Yeah. And then Cochran you're just like, holy crap. He laid him so low.
Yeah.
You could just almost feel him sweating, you know.
Well, and does Darden have the same experiences as Cochran on the streets of L.A.? Probably. I mean, they set the tone in the, again, opening scene in the episode when he gets pulled over and his daughters ask him what they said. Basically, you know, did he call you the N-word? And he said, don't ever say that word. Right. So he says this to his daughters, but then he gets in the courtroom and says to put that kind of restriction on that language in the courtroom is absurd. Right.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very interesting. Now, I love the opening and to kind of keep it on the aspect of race. I thought the transition between the first two scenes was really well done with the being pulled over and then let go. And then the next scene is in church.
Yeah,
which is, you can tell, has historically been a safe space, politically and socially.
Yeah. And you can, that's right. And I mean, we're, as you know, we in this deal are always kind of looking for the spiritual themes. And there were a couple that I wanted to draw out. And one was that not just that they pray for Johnny Cochran in church, but then when he's pacing around at the foot of the bed working on his opening arguments.
Oh, he's so good.
So good.
It's a sermon, right? I mean, he like tries a line. His wife's like, no, it sounds too much like you're joking. And then he comes up with another one. He's like, it's got alliteration. It's, you know.
The three C's.
He's writing a sermon.
And we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
It's not. And even Marsha Clark's team is starting to get it. She's not, but her team is, about telling the story. We're not presenting facts. We're telling a story, and we have to tell the better story.
Yeah, but it's true. But at the beginning of that episode, it does show the difference. Like, it's going back and forth. It's pretty interesting direction where they cut back and forth between the two legal teams, and they're building they're building the case, you know. And Marsha Clark keeps saying, like, look, this thing's in the bag. We've got the evidence. We've got witnesses. You know, she'll be like, we've got witnesses. And then it cuts to the other, the defense, you know, Johnny Cochran's law conference room. And he's like, their best witness is a dog that was howling, you know? And then, I mean, it's just back and forth. It's, the other spiritual kind of existential spiritual theme I wanted to ask you about as somebody who studied film is it's really setting it up that Marsha Clark is really, I mean, I said last week she's tone deaf, but she's more than tone deaf. You know, she like doesn't, what's that?
She has conviction.
Yeah, she has conviction, but she completely misses everything going. She's like, it's like she can't be honest with Chris Darden, and she can't be honest with herself. Because everyone's like, you got to tell Chris Darden you have him. Like, he's at the table because he's black. Give me a friggin' break. It's not because he's a brilliant jurist, you know? And she won't tell him that. And then the guy who ends up having the heart attack, He's like, you have to start being like, how about you be a little softer with Chris? He'll work better with you if you're softer with him. And she's like, okay, I'll do that. And then she doesn't do it.
Do you remember the heart attack?
No, did it really happen?
I don't know. I need to fact check before we do this.
I meant to Google that too, because I'm like, did a dude really?
Yeah, because Amy and I heart attack watching, during she said opening. The same thing. She's like, I don't remember this.
Yeah, that may be a little.
But what do you think about the parallel between, and we can come back to Darden if you want to, but if we're talking about Marcia Clark, what do you think about the parallel between her and O.J. Simpson? I feel like they're kind of two sides of the same coin.
That's interesting. What do you mean?
That she thinks it's all about one thing. He did it. We've talked about her kind of being so naive and unwilling to see the subtleties at work. And OJ is also about one thing. I didn't do it. Is naive. Why are you redecorating my house? Why are these people saying these things about me? Right? They seem to occupy some of the same space, naive space, and their the perception of the proceedings. I don't know. That just struck me while I was watching this episode. It could, you know.
I think that's interesting that you say that. In some ways you could say they're both too innocent and naive, and they're both being played by basically by Johnny Cochran and Effley Bailey, because you don't get the impression that Robert Kardashian is very sophisticated or really gets it. And obviously
and nobody on Marcia Clark's team is manipulating her. Right? Garcetti's not, right? Like who's pulling the strings on that side other than her?
No, she is.
I mean, Darden's trying, but she's not listening to him.
No, and she seems to keep believing that the law, like justice will prevail just because the law is the justice is blind, lady justice with the blindfold and the scales. Like,
this is a character who tells Darden when someone acts polite, they are polite.
I know, right?
I was like, this is L.A. This is the fakest town on the planet. People know how to hide there.
She can't even believe that this cop would be a racist. And even if he were, it doesn't matter. Like, I can't help who found the glove.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So but the question is, in the old traditional terms of it would be interesting. I think one thing we've never really talked about that we've talked about in regards to movies or novels is the three act play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you wonder over a series like this, is there a kind of a big meta three act format or formula? But I wonder about this. Who's the protagonist? Like right now, early on, OJ never really has been. And Kardashian had a pretty big role in the first couple episodes, but now like Johnny Cochran has really, it's just like he did on the legal team. He did with the series. Like he barged into it and he took it over. And the guy, the actor who's playing Johnny Cochran is breathtakingly good.
Oh yeah, he's lapped even Travolta.
Yeah, you said something last week like this is what we're really watching is the rise of that actor into national prominence.
Yeah. Well,
but who's the protagonist? Because do you want to like Johnny Cochran, but you also know that like this guy, he would even sell his own, you know, former protege Chris Darden down the river, embarrass him, cut him off at the knees. And then you wonder when he approaches him in OJ's backyard and says, let the white people, don't do Furman. Let the white people do Furman. Like,
yeah.
You think he's giving him good advice, but you're also just like Darden is a little bit skeptical that maybe he's manipulating Darden.
Yeah. I was trying to find I was listening to what you were saying. I was trying to find an article yesterday that someone posted. And if I do, I can put it into the to the link to the podcast. But the question this week seems to be around the episode, who are you rooting for?
Yeah.
And episode one critic asked that question because there's really no clear thing, maybe other than right now, it feels like Darden is the sympathetic character. You know?
Darden's a sympathetic character, but he's not a protagonist because he's not calling any of the shots.
That's a good point. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah.
You're rooting for him. I'm rooting for him, but he seems emasculated by Clark and Cochran.
If you're talking about shot callers, it's clearly Cochran.
At this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that changes or evolves.
Here's one thing that I'd like us to look for in the next episode or two is any of these are any of these legal people, whether it's the judge or the attorneys, going to do any soul searching? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when we talk about the spiritual existential aspects of shows like this, Tony Soprano did soul searching, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had people in The Wire and Breaking Bad, like these, even the roughest characters we've seen on the top, serial TV shows that have kind of carved out this space for incredible serial television. Soul searching has been a part of it for most of these
characters. And you would probably say that's what helps make them great.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, why else would you pull for a mafia boss who's just whacking people left and right?
Unless he has some sort of wife. Yes, unless there's some inner conflict.
But you're like, I like Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Like, I want him to win.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
No, he should be under the jail.
Right. So, anyway, I mean, I think, will Marsha Clark ever sit back and soul search? Will Johnny Cochran ever admit to himself, this is all just a game for me,
That's where TV can embellish those things, because who knows, right, about what really happened. Yeah. But, if you take what really happened, you probably would say, no, these people never had that crossroads, because you would think it would have influenced the way they conducted the case or ran their defense or whatever. But maybe in the show, there's some creative license to do that.
Yeah, and a couple interesting little subplots before we go. One, Judge Ito, and I wonder if he'll become.
How chill is he in that bench, man? Huh?
I remember that too. Watching it, I remember watching it live, and that's exactly his posture. He's like, if he could put his feet up, he would, But he gets the fan mail from Arsenio Hall. I mean, that's so LA.
Oh, it's amazing. And what's the deal with all the hourglasses? Was that a thing too?
Yeah, that's his thing,
Yeah.
But then the tribe of white people in their tuxedos, with the guy from Vanity Fair who's got the front row seat. And I mean, it's creepy. That's another just creepy racist. And they all stop talking when their black servants come in and they're serving them dinner. It's like, am I watching Downton Abbey? This is crazy.
It's
white glove tuxedo tail service at a dinner in L.A.?
But Dunn seems to be of that old school, right? He's bridging this history, right, from our past where, these servants were in many more homes, bridging it to Downton Abbey, even, I would say, that because it's that American aristocracy that we say we don't have, but we really do.
Yeah. Well, all right. Another good one. I'm looking for. How many episodes is this show total? 10?
What did we say? 8 or 10? Something like that?
We're about halfway through.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people will listen to this podcast, but if people have ideas for our next series, they should tweet them at us.
Yeah, please do, because we're game to watch anything. And well, actually, Preacher will be coming out soon on AMC. That probably should be our next show, because I know there'll be a lot of fans of that comic that will be tuning in. So we should consider that one. Also, that was it.
Okay.
I thought I had one other thing for you, but I don't. It's escaped me.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Killer Serials.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. If anybody's listening to this show that's a lawyer and loves the series, maybe we can have them on to talk about, bring that other angle in.
Yeah, that'd be fascinating.
Yeah. I've got somebody in mind, but we'll figure it out. But if anybody's listening and wants to volunteer, bring it.
Let us know.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We'll see you next week for episode 6.
Thanks. Bye.
Later.